Ireland is too rural to support an ambulance service to compare with amenities in England and meet official targets for response times, according to a confidential report, as reported on by Martin Wall and Paul Cullen in the Irish Times today.
Yes, Michael, well, first of all, I want to go back because this time last year we were having huge conversations about the ambulance service and the future of the ambulance service. Now, we go back to 2011 when the HICWA organisation issued recommendations for key performance indicators. And the first response, of course, which is the initial response to a call for life-threatening is 7 minutes and 59 seconds. And then we had the ambulance arriving on scene, or the patient carrying a vehicle, in around 18 minutes. So, air members have always been extremely unhappy with the way those key performance indicators were set out, because we always believed that there should have been a capacity review carried out in the service. In other words, the recommendations being made, the key performance indicators, which are comparable to those in the United Kingdom, could those key performance indicators be actually matched?
Well, the Irish Times reports this morning that this report says that's not possible.
Absolutely.
Now, are you working off the Irish Times, or have you seen this report yourself?
No, I'm working off the Irish Times, but I have to say, we went to the Joint Oireachtas Committee in February last year, and we demanded a capacity review, which we found quite unusual that a trade union group would have to say, this is the work you should have done in the first place, because the public have to have confidence in their ambulance service, whether it's provided by the Health Service Executive National Ambulance Service or their comrades in the Dublin Fire Brigade Ambulance Service in the city centre or the wider County Dublin area.
And this is that review, and it's carried out by a group of UK consultants.
Yes, which I understand are expert in this particular field. Now, we haven't seen the report yet. We understand that what they seem to be referring to is a report that's either not finished or is in the process of being completed. But nevertheless, it will give us a flavour of exactly what is anticipated going forward, and indeed what investments are required by the Irish state should the government decide that they are going to resource the ambulance service that the public can have confidence in.
Right, there's a few issues here.
Yes.
Under resourcing, they're talking about 45 million, 50 million a year over 3 years to recruit almost 300 people to bring up the scale of the service. They're talking about problems then with the isolated areas that the service has to respond to, and that we're too rural as a country. Yes. They're saying that because we don't ring ambulances as frequently as they do in the UK, that's a problem for some reason. And they're also, it would seem, critical of where we've located ambulance stations.
This is a huge project, Michael, and it's absolutely staggering that the report, is, according to the Irish Times, is indicating that we are short, at this moment in time, 290 ambulance professionals, highly skilled personnel that can give life-saving intervention to the citizens of this country. If we want to have the service that the HICWA said we should have, based on UK comparables, and should we just not even look across the border, which is 20 miles away from this studio, look at the Scottish service. The Scottish Ambulance Service, the initial response times are successful in the rural communities because of their investment in community force response. That does not mean it has to be a full-time ambulance professional. The initial response to either a cardiac arrest or a stroke issue, the initial response can be performed within 7 minutes 59 seconds by someone trained up and under the supervision of the National Ambulance Service, and then the patient carrying vehicle can respond to that. I understand that's under consideration, but it's not just about money, it is about properly resourcing, and you're absolutely correct. There are parts of this country that do not have a dedicated ambulance service, and because of the frequency of calls or the demands on the service, it's not viable to do that. However,
but surely if there's fewer calls, there's less pressure. I thought that would have worked to the advantage.
I understand there were fewer calls in certain areas. I was rural, in the rural context. But there is a note there that does say, and you rightly point this out, that where ambulances are deployed from is an issue. In Northern Ireland, you have strategic deployment points for ambulance services. It may not be an ambulance base. It may be a community centre. It may be it may is be it a
fire
service.
Is it ambulance base here? Because, I mean, every time there's an issue, we're told it's not a static service, it's a mobile service.
Absolutely. But again, forgive me if I'm incorrect reading what the Irish Times is saying, that basically there are parts of the country that do not have an ambulance within that reach. And in fairness, they may not also have a community force response. And the members of our union in SIBTU, the union that represents ambulance personnel of all grades, have always said that we could do with that support and in a structured way. The issue we've had is that while HICWA has been using key performance indicators based on the ambulance service in a different jurisdiction, that's resourced absolutely much more superior than what our ambulance service is getting, we are actually set up to fail. Now, the Irish government have a very, very big decision to make here, Michael. You know, we've had health crisis after health crisis. If what the Irish Times is saying is correct, then there's a decision to be made. If we want a world-class ambulance service, then we have to resource it. We have to obviously also decide that we're going to train people in the ambulance service to do their job in a different way. Because every single ambulance call in the United Kingdom does not result in an ambulance being dispatched. It may result in the ambulance person taking the call, being able to treat the person over the telephone, give good technical or medical advice. It may also be a situation where a force responder may be able to handle the call and say, look, we'll bring you to the minor injury unit or the minor injury assessment unit, or we'll bring you to your local GP.
Or further to that, an ambulance might be dispatched, but the patient may not be brought to hospital.
Absolutely, and this is another thing too. And also, by the way, it's not unusual in the United Kingdom for an ambulance crew to come to a scene, having been dispatched, and decide that they're going to discharge that patient, that they are confident that that person does not need emergency care. And you know, the difficulty that Irish ambulance personnel have, and their members have been complaining about this for many years, is that they have to automatically go to the accident emergency once they pick the patient up, unless the patient voluntarily walks away.
There is no option.
There is no option. They must. And
they're obligated to do that.
Obligated at this stage.
So if they weren't obligated to do that, and they had the skill and know-how and made a decision to discharge the patient, as you put it, before the patient is even taken in the ambulance, well, would that not be a question of diverting personnel, diverting resources and funding from hospital services to the ambulance service?
Well,
I mean, is this a cost, I mean, as we see it here at face value, of 50 million a year, or is it somewhat?
Well, the 15 million a year is talking about obviously that we're going to have to, if we do need, no matter what we do, we are short, according to the report, the Irish Times report.
But do we take some of the
290 personnel?
But do we take some of that money, take some of those people out of the hospital service and into the ambulance service?
I understand the point that you're making. I'm not quite clear how that would work out, but I do know that the ambulance service, the professionalism in the ambulance service, is equipped and has the ability to do certain things that are not being requested to do at this time. But it could take the actual burden off the accident emergency departments. We would have experienced situations even last week, Michael, when we spoke about the overcrowding and accident emergency. We had ambulances that were actually stuck at accident emergencies because the ambulance crews could not sign over the patient and could not get their equipment back to put the ambulance back on call. So, but in some cases, the ambulance should not have been in the hospital at all. But I do believe that Minister Radker has got to come out now and make some utterance and the considered comment on the direction that he wishes to take the ambulance service. And I do think it's time for the capacity review to be published in full and discussed with the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Health. Because at the end of the day, we all want an ambulance service that can respond. This report allegedly is very strongly indicating we're not properly resourced. This is what we require. And by the way, some of the cost there can actually probably be self-generated with true reorganisation. Not at all, by the way. Be very clear about that. Not at all.
What's that?
But what
about the short term? Should these HICWA guidelines, these response times of 9 and 19 minutes be reviewed? Because according to the paper, there's 100 locations in the country where one emergency call is made per week.
Absolutely. Now,
practically no
emergency call. Now, the issue for that we've challenged HICWA, and probably one of the only organisations that is actually prepared to say to HICWA, look, explain how you've got to this. Because in the United Kingdom, there is a difference between an urban and rural response time for an emergency ambulance. Be very clear about that, Michael. I did note in the most recent HICWA report